Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 241. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, today joined by the Alvin, Simon, and Theodore of L.A. plus Chicago.
Doesn't really work that well. It's not, you know
it
what?
Just, it didn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine. I got it. Didn't roll off the tongue.
You could have said, like, the Alvin, Simon, Theodore of my heart.
I hate them.
Wow.
You hate them?
When I was a young kid, sick, staying at home from school, and that show came on, I wanted to die. It just bored the fuck out of me. I hated it.
Man. All right.
That's rough.
Damn, he hates it.
Shit.
I didn't realize, honestly, until right now, how much of a deep hatred for the Chipmunks Alvin and the Chipmunks that I had.
Wow.
So sorry.
Jesus. Holy fuck. Fine. Shit.
All because they just, like, came on at a time and, like, space you didn't like.
Yeah, they just didn't do it for him. And he said, that means they should be dead.
That means they need to not exist. Welcome back to the show, Crendor, for the third time?
It's three or four. I don't remember.
Too many. Too many is the answer.
I was listening to your most recent episode of Cox and Crendor because I had an idea for the show, but again, we'll get to it when we get there. I like that you point, you know, it's the time of year where you kind of, your analogy is going on talk shows to remain relevant.
That is what I do.
So what late night talk show is Chilluminati? Like, out of the late night talk shows that exist, what is Chilluminati?
Good question.
That is a good question.
Are you Googling late night talk shows?
Yeah, right now? I don't even know what the current late night talk shows are.
Are you? Is that what you're doing?
I don't think we're Jimmy Fallon. I don't think we're Jimmy Fallon.
No, this is more like Seth Meyers.
Yeah. Okay.
Seth Meyers. Okay. Yeah. I'll accept Seth Meyers. I enjoy Seth Meyers.
I would have said PBS Broadcasting late night 1 a.m. whatever the hell is on. That's what we are.
I'm talking about 3 a.m. Namibia live cam watering hole. Ibex watering.
But yeah, that is my go-to. You just got to go on all the shows, right?
Remind people you exist.
Yeah, you go on all the late night shows. You're just like, guys, you know, I got Cox and Crendor. If you like Jesse here, we got that one. That's a thing. You know, I got my YouTube channel where I'm doing pointless top tens, and I stream on Twitch, and you know, just check me out. Buy my book. I got a movie.
It's kind of meta.
And yeah, I reach under the desk and pop it out with a cover. What's the cover of your book look like?
It's just blank, and it has one word on it, and it just says bye.
B-Y.
It's not subliminal messaging. It's
bye stands for bring umbrella yesterday.
That's hardcore.
And if he had bought his umbrella yesterday, he'd have a way to cover himself from all that money flowing in.
I wish I did.
Places like Patreon.
What Mathis was trying to do there was transition into me talking about the Patreon that we have here.
Yeah, it was bad. Patreon. You know what? That was just as bad as Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
Yeah.
That was rough.
That was almost as bad as Cox and Crendor.
Head on over to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. You get ad-free episodes. You get a bonus mini-sode after every Chilluminati episode. That's like a current events, what the hell weird shit's going on, maybe some really depressing science news, or an update on some kind of guy with the jetpack or Iron Man powers. Nobody really knows.
What was depressing science news? What happened recently?
Sometimes the depressing science news is like, here's what you're going to lose your job to, or it's like, here's the reason why we're definitely going to be killed the first time that we make contact with aliens, or, there's lots of fun nuggets on there. Also, you can get video versions of the minisodes. You can also get access to our Rotten Popcorn podcast. You can also get art from Studio Melectro, which is like the coolest, most punk rock, dope, psychedelic concert art you can think of. It's all there for you at patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod, a website that he forced me to talk about.
Yeah, you don't see it, but there's a gun right against his head. I'm telling him to do it.
But for $10 a month, he'll put that gun away.
Guys, it's a water gun. It's not even a good one. It's not even a super soaker. It's one of those trash dollar store ones.
It's not a super soaker.
Don't let them fool you.
It's mostly moister.
It's green.
It wheezes when you pump it.
Yeah, it's green. It's got like a little red tab where you squeeze. It's
no matter what, there's like water on your hand somehow. Like, where the fuck is it coming from? I don't know.
Because you fill it through the little hole in the top, then you have to plug it up with
not like sealed. It's two plastic pieces pushed together, so there's always a crack.
Right, and the sealed never is. It's bad. It's running down onto his microphone right now.
Listen, the only reason Chilluminati is so successful is because I don't spend big on the good shit like this, all right? I keep it cheap.
Help us replace that microphone by sending money to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod.
By the way, at 3 a.m. on PBS is Susie Orman's Ultimate Retirement Guide.
That's so. Fucking
holy fuck.
That's the equivalent of this
I
show.
I want to see an episode of that. I genuinely want to see what the fucking episode of that is like. Like, what is that? And why is it playing at 3 a.m.? You'd think most retired people are asleep at 9 p.m.
You would think.
You would be wrong.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no. Old people.
They're waking up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Gen X, right? The retired generation.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Yeah. They are waking up at 3 a.m. They're the people I had to serve at Dunkin' Donuts at fucking 4 a.m. when the door opened. Them and construction workers. I like the construction workers, but old people. I hate them.
Hate old people?
What?
What the fuck? All right.
Who do you like?
Aliens.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, but what if the aliens are old?
Yeah, what if they're all old people?
That's when a reckoning happens to myself, and I have to...
We come for your 3 a.m., Susie Orland.
I have to work this shit out. Trendor, you've been on the show a couple times now, and every time I've forcibly fit you into the mold of a Chilluminati episode. So yeah. Today, I felt like I should be a good guest. Instead, I tried to force the Chilluminati mold into a Cox and Crendor-shaped hole. Mm.
How fun.
This was... Initially, the thought was like, you know, we'll do weird weather, and then we'll do some wacky new... That shit is impossible to find more than like two things of. However... There's still a couple things I found, like one time in the 1800s where when it rained flesh.
Perfect.
So we'll talk about that, shit like that. But how do you usually open? You guys are just chatting away for like 20 minutes half the time, it seems like. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is this where we find out that Mathis is like a dedicated listener of Cox and Crendor?
Because I don't know, like I need to fit this into your mold and I don't know what you got. How do you usually open a Cox and Crendor?
Our secret is we never know what we're going to talk about.
The complete opposite it's true. Of how Chilluminati usually works.
But the thing is, like, we just have the banter down.
This is why I had a hard time. I'm discovering.
Yeah, we have the yin yang going. I think because Jesse can rant for like 10 years, and I can like listen and just kind of halt him and be like, "What are you talking about?" And like, just you know, that's all it really is. It's just Jesse talking and me interrupting, being like, "Hold on."
They were the first guys to figure this out.
You have how many years of trained Jesse wrangling experience? Behind you now?
Well, I've been doing this for a decade.
I don't think any wrangling is happening. I feel like we're misinterpreting what's happening on our show.
Did you see that Reddit picture I linked you? There's some wrangling happening on someone's end.
No, that's happened for years. Since 2012, there's been pictures of me looking amazing in
like that
ladies' outfits that exist. Like, it's not my fault. That's what fan artists do.
Yeah, just fan artists.
I think.
Definitely not Jesse himself.
They're just excited about how sexy I am.
Yeah, yeah. Not commissioned by you personally whatsoever.
Never.
I don't need to. It just happens.
It just happens. No, no, it's natural, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's just our podcast is natural.
Yeah.
It's all natural.
It's so natural.
It just flows. Yeah. It's like whenever I've been on even the Geek Enders podcast two times, they're like, this literally just becomes Cox and Crendor with Dodger there. And I was like, it really does. But that's part of the fun.
Yeah. So
if Cox and Crendor is all natural, is the show a grower or a shower?
Oh, it's a shower, but like still kind of disappointed.
Oh, okay. You couldn't have been like
the show was originally called Grower and Shower,
and it's got pesticides on it, but like the good kind.
Yeah,
not the kind that like, makes the frogs gay and stuff.
Yeah, it's not like the power pesticides they put on the normal stuff. It's like just the gentle pesticides.
When we say grower or shower, Crendor, what do you think we're talking about?
Oh, wieners. But I also talk about gardens and stuff.
Wieners make me think of food, make me think of vegetables, make me think of farmers markets, make me think of pesticides.
Right, circle of life. Pesticides. Of course, yes. Yeah.
I didn't think Crendor wasn't following. I thought he was following. I didn't know you didn't think.
No, I'm following.
He just added farm terminology to the whole.
Yeah, I followed that shit, dude. Maybe you're not high enough.
I thought he was talking about like, you know, sometimes you grow a nice pumpkin. And sometimes those pumpkins are for show. And I was just curious.
I mean, there's some people, they'll grow a pumpkin, they'll like put their wiener in it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to get a small one first, hollow out a little hole, put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, and then.
It's about immersion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all depends. There's been times we'll just show up, be like, what do you do this week? Sometimes he's brought up either of you. I remember he brought up Alex eating at some like fancy restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that, or like people showing up.
Yeah, that's Alex likes fancy restaurant and hams. We know this.
That's my lot in life.
Yeah, or he's just like you know, crazy people showed up at Alex's house again.
Oh, classic. One time, a guy who like is delusional about being an artist and who like shows up in front of this media company that's by my house, even though it used to be an art gallery, like he just doesn't accept that it's now a content production facility. And he just still camps outside with his portfolio all the time. came to my door at like 1:15 a.m. one morning trying to sell me art. It's like door to door.
But was his art good?
No, it was literally, I didn't buy any of it because it was like, he was like a little too edge. Like I was like a little too, like if I opened the door, he might like grab me with his like.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's absolutely need to worry about that.
The art was like poster board. It was like not like I'm like really like an optimistic guy. It was like ripped magazine pages taped to poster board with like pencil.
That man's working on his ransom note.
We're going to see that dude in 3 years selling pieces for like millions
of dollars.
I thought
he was dead for 6 years.
It's going to be called like poster art.
That or he's going to end up as a news article on Cox and Crendor during like the fucking Florida man nonsense.
No, he's not from Florida, so we won't talk about him.
Florida's just got that law that just
makes it. It's Florida and or animals with fun names.
Yeah.
And or people who have Florida-esque tendencies.
The more I learn about your show, the more I realize why I was having a very hard time trying to figure out like a
it's everywhere. Format. I mean, here. We just did Neil the Seals segment. Great guy.
Yep.
In Australia, Neil the Seal. It's a very popular seal. Okay. What? They love Neil the Seal.
Right. Yeah.
He fights and eats cones.
I got no problem with that. I love that.
Yeah.
We also got people like, it's not just Florida man now. It started, but now it's branched out. They're like Ohio man. Yeah, like Texas guy.
Is there a different, like, do you find that they have like different tendencies by state? Like,
no.
It's not like a demographic.
No, trash
thing.
Is trash, no matter where you're at in the state.
No matter
trash
where it is.
Trash.
Yeah.
But we do find that people are terrible at reporting it, is the thing. They'll be like, this man ate 20 pounds of Five Guys after breaking in at 2 a.m., and that's it. And we're like, well, why'd he do it? Like, they never get to the why.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you ever find, and I'm assuming you can't find out as to the why.
I mean, we'll dig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had any paranormal news or anything you've covered? Has anything weird happened to you ever, Crendor? Have we asked that of you before?
I mean, define weird.
Ghosts, aliens, cryptids, like anything in the past.
Have you ever had something that happened to you that you thought to yourself, I could share this on the Chilluminati podcast?
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I feel like if I did, I would have written it down and been like, I can share this on the Chilluminati podcast.
Okay, you're a note taker.
Because my brain does work in like content creator mode constantly. Like I'll see something out in public, some guy will be like, hey, what are you doing, like throwing newspapers at people. I'll be like, I gotta write this down, this is perfect. It's
Crengary, like, Crane Ross
something. Yeah. Doing this for as long as we have, something happens to your brain, it rewires, everything becomes potential content.
I'm like, how do I make this into my job? Everything I love, I just need it to be my job.
I think it's potentially worrying that Crendor can say, yeah, no, I haven't seen anything weird, I don't. Because it makes me think maybe he is the weird in the situation.
You think like he's a ghost or something?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe he's the paranormal one and everyone else is experiencing him, is the vibe.
That's fair.
That's a great way to describe Crendor, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we experience you.
That is true.
It's like the Chilluminati version of like BDE, right? But it's just like cryptid energy. Like it's just like... You just like, some people have cryptid energy.
Well, is Crendor cryptid energy or is it like Star Child energy?
No, I feel like you've got
a little cryptid.
I feel like you have like cryptid energy. There's a lot of mystery.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of mystery around Crendor, I feel like. Like he keeps it alive, you know what I mean? It's a cryptid energy.
Plus, like, if we were in the woods and he randomly appeared, it would make sense to me.
It wouldn't make sense, but Crendor's not a stoner, right? Like, if Crendor was a stoner, it'd be like his final evolution.
Yeah, no. I'm like, if I take the marijuanas, I take like 1 to 2 milligram edibles.
And you just,
like, whoa. I take like just enough to where I'm just kind of like, all right. It's like having one beer. Then people are like, what? I don't even feel anything if I take like 10 milligram. I'm like, dude, I don't know. That's all I need.
Maybe you're just super in touch with yourself.
Maybe I am. It might just be that.
Yeah, maybe you just like really feel it. Yeah, because some people I think are just kind of like, desensitized a little bit. They just like get shredded, like, you know, like some people, like they can't taste anything because they drink like sugar in every beverage they drink.
So, oh yeah,
like, when they drink water they're like, this tastes like nothing.
Yeah, like they're just like, I don't know, I have like 5 Arizona iced teas a day, I don't know why it's happening.
Yeah, like I think it could literally be the 5 Arizona iced teas a day why you can't feel 1 milligram of weed.
That might be it. Yeah,
but what are my Arizona iced teas? Just experiencing
yours are just being a fit guy. Like you just feel it. You probably drink a lot of water, right?
That's true. I drink water. I drink coffee.
Yeah, that's it.
Black coffee.
What's that guy's name? You know who you are. You're that.
I just want to set the stage for exactly how incredibly healthy Crendor is. This is a real story. Last time I was over at his place, he was like, yo, do you want some ice cream? And I was like, hell yeah, dude, I love ice cream. And he proceeded to give me an ice cream cone that was 3 inches long, potentially. It was like a little baby ice cream cone. And I was like, of course this man has children's ice cream, like little baby cones. Because he's a fit guy and he's not going to be like a gross, like creep like me who's like, ice cream? God, I love ice cream.
What is baby ice cream cone? This too small. This too small for me.
I can't have high amounts of.
But I ate it anyway.
If I have too much ice cream or like high amounts of fat, I don't got a gallbladder. I can't process that easily.
You know? Yeah. And you know what? No one should have that much. That's the real truth.
Yeah. Even if I have like a Coca-Cola or something, I'll only have like half a mini can.
Yeah, that's
half
vibes.
Of a mini can. Wow.
Because I just want the taste sometimes.
And or as they like, call it in Europe, a can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as they call it in Europe, a can. Yeah, America's a little special. That's a little different. Thank you so much to today's sponsor, Talkspace. And it's normal to get down sometimes. It's called being human. As much as you might hate them, emotions, they're what make you you. You can only bottle them up and turn to anger for so long before it eventually explodes. And if you're like me, you realize at some point, it was probably good to talk to a therapist. But if you're not there yet, there's never a better time than today. And that's where Talkspace makes it nice and easy for people like you and me. So don't wait until something bad happens to talk to a therapist. Start doing it now. The rest of your body goes to a doctor when it needs to be healed. So does your brain. And with Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made super easy. And Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and so much more. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information, and it complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. It's affordable and in-network with most major insurers. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off of your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/chill. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/chill to get $80 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/chill. Thank you again to Talkspace for sponsoring today's episode.
All right, so what's this episode about, dude? What are we doing?
It became Cox and Crendor.
I have a bunch of weird news, weird weather things that we were going to go through terms of like weather, sports, news. I was going to mimic the Cox and Crendor thing.
I like that. But yeah. Before that.
I don't like that at all.
No, why? It's like great promotion for your other show, Jesse. What are you talking about?
It is fantastic. I do have one thing I saw, and it was a TikTok where there's this guy and he's in his like living room and there's just something banging on the wall and it's just like burr, burr, okay. Burr, burr. Okay. And then a thing falls off the wall and he's just like, what the shit? And he looks inside and there's like nothing in his closet on the one wall.
This
and I was like, nah, I don't.
It could be pipes, like bad pipes. I wanted to finish my thought, but like he has like wandering vagabond energy, like wise sage.
Cryptid energy. What do you don't make.
That's cryptid energy.
But like, you know, like, but like a guy who doesn't need to be like he could just have a house and live a happy life.
No, he couldn't.
The man loves to just be out and, you know, exploring, but of the internet, not of like.
No, Crendor is the Jack Reacher of podcasters.
Jack Reacher?
He must keep moving on. He cannot be in one place.
Cox and Crendor have been going for
shows
like a decade.
Up, takes out crime and then keeps going. Like that's his.
We hang out, we're like, man, that Crendor, he's so good at everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I would be a weird cryptid, like did show up in the woods and people would freak out. I'm just like, I'm just gathering walnuts.
Yeah, I'm just doing my chores.
He looks like a skinwalker, but is genuinely just a walnut man.
So anyway.
Shut up, Jesse.
No, there's a video that was, I think, very similar to this. It's made the rounds where I'm pretty sure it's a prank, but it's very good because it's a husband and wife in bed. And then there's banging on the door and the wife wakes up and she starts shaking around. She's like, wake up, baby, wake up, wake up. And there's banging on the door. And then the door slowly starts to open. She's like, baby, wake up, wake up. And the and it's like one of those like cameras in the corner.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to have in your bedroom, by the way, just in general.
Like a Paranormal Activity camera.
I was actually gonna say, is this just Paranormal
She's Activity? She's like, baby, wake up. And the door slowly opens. And then nothing happens. And she's like, baby. And her husband's still asleep the entire time. And then she starts to calm down a little because nothing happens. And then something on her dresser flies off the dresser and lands on the ground. And she freaks out. And that's how the video ends. And I'm like, this has to be a prank, right? Because like.
Does it look good? Is that why you're.
It looks great. Like it looks great. The implication though is that the husband is either such a big, like heavy sleeper. He's not waking up. Or he did it. Or the ghost got him.
I did date someone a long time ago that I could not wake them up. I would shake them. It was impossible to get them to rouse out of sleep. And I did not understand how that happened. I could not.
I wish I could sleep like that.
No shit, dude. I'm the other way around. I'm like up every couple of hours.
Why are you waking up every couple of hours?
He's got to pee, man. He's old.
Well, every 2 hours I go outside. I strip down and then I beg for aliens for approximately 15 minutes before going back to bed and trying it again until sunlight.
Beg for aliens, dude.
Right. It's really messed up his entire sleep schedule. It's rough.
It's probably enlarged prostate. Yep.
No, but that's insectoid leak. Did you see that, by the way?
That was amazing. That's my favorite bit of like, this is why everyone's so worried. Because we're on an alien ant farm. That's a prop. Ding, ding,
ding, ding, yeah, ding, if that's ding, a prop, and it very likely is, but that's like a sick. That's like the first time I've seen like a physical representation of what insectoids could sort of look like if they were real.
So wait, so are we not going to talk about this video Krendor sent? We spent all this time for him waiting to get it.
Oh yeah, no, let's do that first. Thank you very much. We should probably do that first. Krendor sent us a TikTok. Let's click on it. Here we are.
Here's the vibe with this: the crucifix flies off the wall almost immediately, and it looks good. And we go in the room, and it's just like Krendor said, there's no one in the room. And then we go into the closet where we see nothing occurring until the door opens, right?
Yeah.
But the cam did detect motion, which is why it turned on in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on when it opens at like 40.
Well, he shows it off in a, maybe later in the clip. It's like an extension cord.
Oh, I see it there. Okay. Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that so basically to describe to people what's happening, video of a man filming the fact there's a knock, like a bang, loud bang on what appears to be the closet door across from him. And he goes to open it and there's nothing inside. And he's like, oh man, but it banged so loud. It shook across off the wall. Right.
Yeah.
And then they put a camera up in the closet and they're filming the inside of the closet. And then they play it again. The thing this time is when they play it again from the camera angle in the closet, the banging is not nearly as loud.
Yes. Okay. I actually had that same thought. And so I went back and there's another door directly in front of him.
I think that's his front door and someone's that hard bang is someone doing it there. And then he opens the closet. The only mystery here is how he coordinates with the person who's on the other side of that other door.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Because in the closet, the door's closed, which is buffering the sound from the bang outside. Like if the bang is so loud that you can't hear it in the closet as well as outside, it can't be from
right. It has to be from whatever is on the other side of that door that's directly next to the closet.
Right.
And I imagine it's pretty easy to be like, hey, I'm going to say go, count to three, then start. And you can just fucking edit it, you know, down to the point where it's only banging. And the camera on the inside is probably active because the vibration of him banging on the other door is activating it. But that's why it sounds so muffled, because it's coming from the other door.
The thing that I mean, I can't speak to the microphone on whatever camera he's using, but like,
true
for me, the negative here is that there's like a plot, like the plot, like the low key plot that you're supposed to be thinking about is that like some demon knocked the cross off the wall, right? You're like, oh, like,
right.
It knocked a cross off the wall. That's fucking hard. It's fucking.
Yeah.
It's without saying it, it's like, this is a demon. And it's like, it's like trying to get the Christian iconography down. And to me, that's like a little too like cinematic for it to be real.
Yeah.
But against that, contrary to that, he spends a uncharismatic amount of time showing his work afterwards inside the closet. That's like not compelling to be just in the context of being thorough. He is less compelling. Which to me makes me think maybe it is real.
No, I can see that.
At least from his point of view.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It is a weird one.
Okay, so we got a newspaper clipping of some weird weather that occurred in 1874. Was it something like that?
76.
76 1876. Feel free to take it, Crendor, when you're ready.
The Carnal Rain. Careful investigation of the Kentucky Marvel by a correspondent. The locality visited. Statements from eyewitness of the phenomenon. Appearance and taste of the supernatural flesh. Native theorists.
Time out. They ate it? Someone was like, yo, I'm putting that in my mouth.
I mean, that's what we call, that's good journalism right there. If you're going to like.
Good eating, that's what we call it.
If meat rained from the sky, would you not be tempted to throw it on the grill and see what happened?
No, I'd question if it was meat.
But what if it's like very obviously meat?
Yeah, but who sent it?
What do you mean?
What if it's T-bone steaks flying out of the sky?
From the sky, then I'd question where it came from.
Maybe that's God saying I'm real.
I would taste it just to see if it really was steak, at least.
I would not.
No.
Not at
no.
all.
No.
I don't think I would, like, devour a steak.
They'd be like, factory. They could be, like, from some factory. It exploded, and then all the meat shot out.
I'm not talking about devouring a steak, you know, like, throwing it some rosemary and butter in there and devouring it. I'm just saying, you know, I might be like, is this meat? Like, is this, you know, like a little...
I
you're the kind of guy who goes to like a crime scene as a detective and is like, it appears the suspect pooped himself. Yep, that's poop.
What the fuck crime scene is that?
It appears this man has shit his pants. Let me just double confirm.
Yeah, we had to make sure it wasn't a candy bar. I've seen 80s comedies. It could have been a candy bar.
Olympian Springs, Bath County, Kentucky, March 16th, 1876. According to instructions transmitted by telegraph to Louisville, Kentucky, your correspondent basically arranged his viaticum.
Yeah, some weird words in there. I also had problems understanding.
What is a viaticum?
A viaticum. Well, yeah, that's when you climax in the Vatican.
I'm gonna viaticum. I'm gonna bust.
And then you get your first and only Vaticum, because then you get kicked out after that.
Vaticum is not the first definition, which is the Eucharist as given to a person near death or in danger of death, but maybe a supply of provisions or an official allowance of money for a journey. That's probably what they're using.
It's Vaticum. Yeah.
It's Vaticum.
He got his shit together.
Yeah. And started with all the expedition possible for the Olympian Springs, Bath County, Kentucky, in the vicinity of which place the wonderful carnal shower is said to have fallen recently.
I don't know if describing it a wonderful carnal shower feels
that's
kind of weird to me.
He's so literal with his word choice. We are just idiots who don't know how to use words anymore.
That's true. Yeah, fair enough.
No way. Society has just changed the phrase wonderful carnal shower to mean something totally different.
That's what I'm saying. Wonderful means full of wonder. Carnal means meat. And shower means rain.
That's when the podcast ends and I need money. That's my OnlyFans account.
Wonderful carnal shower?
Carnal showers. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, dude. Carnal showers meets Colonel Sanders? Oh, it's a fucking mashup.
Carnal
right
shower
there.
Is a great OnlyFans channel name. Yeah. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. And I also, two big boys, the Bear Cave.
Two big boys. The Bear Cave.
Call the Bear Cave or a Brother Bear for a certain particular niche on OnlyFans.
Brother Bear, that sucks, dude.
Brothers Bear. Yeah, you can't take the whole title of the movie.
I would not go with Brother Bear as, like, come on by to my porn channel, Brother Bear. Like, that's...
The Brothers Bear. Yeah.
Oh, B-A-R-E, by the way, spelled that way. Come on.
Right, of course. And also, we got a picture where you're obviously a big titty cat girl. With a bulb.
Why do you keep going back to this?
Because it's just too good. It's too well done.
He likes it. He's fascinated by
it. It's going to be my phone background. And I'm not going
to
tell
Save us, Crendor. I can't believe I'm asking you to do this. Save us.
On the day of my departure from Louisville, I had the good fortune to meet Captain J.M. Bent of Mount Sterling, Kentucky.
Captain Bent, Carnal Showers.
Who is the gentleman that brought to Louisville the substance reputed to have fallen from the clouds to the north and placed in the hands of Professor Lawrence J. Smith for analysis, and also gave the information to the agent of the Associated Press of that city, upon which the original statements of the occurrence were made.
Why are they doing this in, like, the cadence of, like, the guy that is the Wizard of Oz in Dorothy's Dream? why does it have that vibe to it? He sounds like a wizard telling you a tale.
It's 1867. He's a newsman.
He's a newsman doing his journalism.
This was entertainment, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, there's a little bit of a back and forth later. Anyway, continue, Crendor.
From Mount Sterling to the Springs, we lodged on the first night out from Louisville at Mount Sterling. A heavy rain commenced to fall the next morning, which interrupted the intended promptness of our departure.
I
Frisbo.
Frisbo, the robot that throws frisbees. Frisbo.
Frisbo and the others were interviewed to fill in the time. At noon, the rain ceased to fall, and we took our seat in a buggy by the side of Joe Jordan-esque, a Mount Sterling merchant, without whose company and assistance your correspondent would have been likely to have failed in his mission.
Yeah. Without him, he wouldn't have been able to get there. I love that this fucking little article about this weather is basically a journal entry from this guy first. It's very much like, and on my journey, I met Frisbo and Joe James Esquire, whatever his name was.
It's an adventure. I like this.
We drove out the Spencer Pike, at the end of which we took a dirt road, which was in a first class bad condition, and a tedious route of about 12 miles more through the woods brought us to Olympian Springs. We reached our destination late in the afternoon, and the evening was devoted to investigations about the fall of flesh among several persons whom we found at the watering place. Brief historical sketch of the springs. The springs are now owned by Harrison Gill and were once owned by Henry Clay. In 1812, this was a recruiting post for the United States Army, and many of the old barrack buildings are still standing on the place. It's a favorite place of resort for people from Lexington and other portions of the bluegrass region of Kentucky.
What the fuck do you do there as for a resort? Like, why is that old
military? Go to the barracks.
Go to the barracks for a resort and do what? They have like Airbnb, like fucking barracks home rooms. I actually did stay in a prison that was retrofitted to be a hotel when I went to Sweden for some game thing a while back. So honestly, I would do it. I would do an army barracks. Hotel thing.
See, there you go. You answered your own question.
I did. Thank you, me. Continue.
It rained last night very hard. The streams are all swollen out of their banks, and we expect some trouble on our return in fording Slate Creek. We have ordered a relay of saddle horses for our trip from here to the Crouch Farm. The steeds are ready, and I will close this part of my letter, vault into the saddle, and ride to the scene of the great phenomenon and map out the last chapter of my narrative. The Crouch Farm is about 2 miles from here in southwesterly direction. Can I just say that this is only like 200 years ago, and it feels it's like we're on a different planet.
It feels literally like a fantasy world that has stuff in it that we don't have and never had.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about like my great grandmother who only passed away a couple years ago now. She was 100 when she passed away. She knew people who were like, at least when she was an infant, like came into contact with people who were like born or alive in this era, because she was born in 1911.
Yeah.
My grandma lived on like in a frontier tin, like a tin roof town with like people with guns. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. It's like that. But they all speak so, like, language has changed so much.
So, to the nature of Olympia Springs, it straight up is a hot springs.
I see.
That's why people would go there as a resort, because they would go soak in the hot springs.
Okay.
We stopped a few minutes on our way at the only habitation along the route between the place we started from and the one to which we're going. This was the home of a humble cripple who makes baskets for a livelihood and relies for his and his family's support upon the mails of his wares to the, or sales of his wares, not the mails.
Very different.
We rode up. It's probably got the Arnold.
Arnold. Fans, so,
Brother Bear Cave.
We rode up to his door, in which an urchin or two were standing, and saluted him by calling out, "Good morning, Mr. Tolliver."
That was excellent urchin impression. Great job.
"Good morning, sir. Won't sun lights? No, I am a little bit of a hurry. Have you seen any of the flesh that was rained down on Mr. Crouch's farm?" "Yes, sir, I have."
So direct.
"What do you think about it?" "Well, sir, it's a mystery to me." "Don't you think that Mrs. Crouch is deceiving the people about this matter?" "Oh, no, sir. She's too good of a woman to be guilty of anything of that kind." "Then you believe all."
I always say trust an urchin, so he's probably.
I picture this as like Gollum when he's talking to himself.
I was going to say afterward, I appreciate Crendor just taking on both roles without even like skipping a beat. I was like, all right, go ahead for it. "Then you
believe all." "This wonderful occurrence?" "I do, sir. Sure, wait.
I do, sir. Do not deceive anybody about anything.
I'm going up to see her about it. Good morning.
Goodbye, sir.
Putting our...
That is crazy.
Good morning, goodbye, sir.
Good morning, yeah. Goodbye.
That just gives me like an elder, like Oblivion energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello. At the end of his dialogue tree. Yeah.
I do not know you, and I do not wish to know you.
Goodbye.
And putting our spurs to the flanks of the steed, we were riding. We reached the crouch place in about 25 minutes after our interview with the isolated basket maker. After passing through a gate from a muddy lane, we ascended a hill at the top of which were built a tumble down long stable and corn crib. Yo, the corn crib. We rode up the side of the structure and lot down four bars, which admitted us into an enclosure containing about three.
Oh, it's pretty blurry.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I think the letters acres.
Acres.
There we go.
Near the center of this plot stands the domicile of the Crouch family. The place is surrounded on every side by mountain and high hills, and all of that part of the place susceptible of cultivation lies in valley between them and seems to embrace an extent about 80 acres. After hitching, we walked around the house and looked at the place and then observed a male peeping at us from a door. We hailed.
Can you imagine being the people who live in this house and these dudes show up, open your gate and just start checking out your land without saying anything?
Here's the thing. Yeah. They are extremely articulate. So
yeah. True. They're probably wearing a suit.
I would like to inquire about the nature of the meat that is falling from the skies.
In this case, my companion Frisbo, and he just fires off a frisbee to the distance.
Frisbo throw!
She then stepped out on the porch and invited us in. We entered and asked for Mr. Crouch. She said he was not in. We then requested to see Mrs. Crouch. In a very few seconds, the madam was in our presence. I love that sentence. Like, in a very few seconds, the madam was here. We introduced ourselves and stated the object of our visit in about the following words. Mrs. Crouch, I have been sent here to learn all of the particulars about the remarkable shower of flesh which is reported to have fallen on this place in your presence a few days ago, and I hope you will be kind enough to give the a tall and truthful statement of all you saw on the day it fell.
I will do that, sir, cheerfully.
Thank you. I will begin, then, by asking you a few questions pertaining to the occurrence. And after I am through with the interrogatories, I will ask you to dictate while I write down any statement about the matter that you may please.
It's like the music to make. If you're done with the interrogatories, please just sit down and listen to my story.
That mode of procedure meets with my approval, and I'm ready to begin if you are.
You think she said that in that exact way? She didn't think she said sure or yes, I will. She was like, I accept your procedure. Like,
dude, it was 1800s.
God, wild. Maybe you're right. You know, maybe you're right. But I always think about the Greek graffiti that basically, like, this dude sucked a dick in this alleyway, and I'm like, humanity.
Right, but that was graffiti. That wasn't considered fair enough. Like, you have to remember that for a long time, just a great example, people didn't wear sweatpants in public.
Yeah, that's wild,
like,
but true.
There was a for show version of reality, and then there was a behind you version of reality. So this woman, this is probably how she talks to people formally, and then when she closes that door, she's like,
get your little shits in here! We got stuff to clean, you bastard!
Thank God for those warriors on my college campus who dealt with the 5.5 years of every single teacher and employee being like, how dare you come to class in your fucking sweats? How are you in your pajamas right now? They walked so we could run. Post-COVID.
Dude, I was wearing sweatpants years ago. Before it was
cryptid
cool.
Energy. True. Yeah. Cryptid energy. You get a pass.
That really would be my cryptid energy to sweatpants, forest.
Yeah. You could just get away with it because you have an essence about
you. You're like a skinwalker, but in like, you have like a, instead of a deer creature, you're like a sloth man.
I like how we've pinpointed more where you would spot cryptid Crendor because it would be like, guys, I went to this fancy restaurant. It was $200 a plate, and there was a guy in sweatpants. I don't think it was real.
How did he get in there? How did they let him in?
I am quite ready and have only further to request you will not state anything that you would not be willing to substantiate by oath.
I will tell you nothing but the solemn truth.
Questions. Can you estimate, either by weight or measurement, the quantity of flesh that tell the other...
Oh, that fell.
Fell the other lay?
Day.
Day.
Day. Day.
I can't say exactly how much there was, but I think there was not less than half a bushel.
Okay, what the fuck? How much is a bushel?
A bushel is, I think it's like four loaves of bread.
One bushel is 9.3 U.S. liquid gallons.
She's measuring meat in gallons?
I'm just giving you a Google game.
It was not less than half a bushel.
It's probably like a very common agricultural measurement that we don't use anymore because we don't have to do anything hard.
I mean, if you're a farmer, you got bushels.
Did you remain in the yard from the commencement until the ending of the shower?
I did not. I became alarmed and fled to the house.
Oh, there's meat on me. Oh, there's meat on me.
No, the meat has covered my body.
The meat has come upon me.
Dude, that's the subtitle for the Carnal Shower OnlyFans is, oh no, there's
the meat
on me.
The meat has come upon me.
I'm gonna vatic up.
Oh man. I just want to say for the record,
can you believe it?
To all the women who started listening recently, hey, I'm so sorry.
We lost
their
gone.
I'm sorry that this is the episode where you're like, you know what? We had a good run, but I'm done. I'm all right.
You know, there's a lot of shows out there about this stuff with women in them. So just once, just let us have this carnal show.
This is just one episode. Don't worry about it. We'll be back to normal next week.
Yeah. Come on. Let us vaticum.
Yeah. Whoa, I'm in a whole vaticum.
This episode is going to be like number one for a month or like the one that doesn't even appear on the charts.
Oh my, wow.
Why are we talking to Rolf?
Did you observe any blood upon the pieces that you examined?
I've lost my place, sir. hold on. Why, sir? I never examined any of it or touched it. But Mr. Crouch, Crouch. And the children say the chips and fence rails upon which it fell were stained with something that looked like blood.
Did it smell different from any other meat?
I did not smell it.
Was it quivering, or did it show any signs of recent life or vaticuming?
Was it vaticuming at the time?
I didn't notice any. I did not notice any.
How did the event impress you at first?
I became very nervous and unusually alarmed.
What do you think it came from?
The Lord only knows. It was coming straight and slurping
down.
It was coming straight and sloping down.
Yep.
It was slooping down. Don't change my words.
I'm so sorry.
Are you certain it fell from the clouds?
I am not. All I know is that it came from some place above my head.
What became of the flesh after it had fallen?
Well, it fell between 11 and 12 o'clock and lay upon the ground till the late in the afternoon. When my husband and son, who were away at the time, returned, Mr. Crouch was told about it. He then went out and picked up a great many pieces. I heard that before that time, the Boggs chickens...
Hogs, chickens, cats, and dogs.
Freely.
Oh yeah, that does. That does look like Boggs.
It looks like Boggs. It looks like a bait anyway, and seemed to like it well.
What the fuck?
Their animals were just eating it, and they seemed to like it.
So it rained for an hour. It rained meat for an hour, and all the farm animals ate the shit.
Fucking delicious.
I mean, yeah, they don't know. They're just like, holy shit, food.
Yeah.
Whoa, meat.
Have you thought much about the occurrence, and have you any theory of your own to the origin or import of the event?
I've thought about it a heap, and it is the greatest mystery to me in the world.
Have any other newspaper correspondents besides myself visited you to get your statement about this affair?
No, sir. You're the only representative of the press that I have seen or that ever spoke to me in reference to it.
You said a while ago that the meat was eaten by the cats... Dogs, hogs, and chickens. Did it have any peculiar effect upon them.
Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes.
Well, I have not noticed anything unusual among them since. Only the doe became very sick the other day and now is very badly off. But I could not say it was the meat that made him so, but I never knew him to be this way before.
I'm going to go yes on that then, right?
Yeah, I'd probably say yes. Mrs. Crouch's statement. After the foregoing questions had been replied to by Mrs. Crouch, as stated, we again walked out in the yard and took another survey of the premise. There stood the soap kettle, the traditional ash hopper, the well, and a hen house, over all of which the flesh is said to have fallen. A rail fence divided in about equal parts the area over which they said the shower fell. About 1/2 mile east of the house is the summit of the mountain, the elevation of which is probably 700 feet above the level of the valley. Returning to the house, we asked Mrs. Crouch to make a statement of the occurrence in her own words, telling her that we would record all she said in her own exact language. To this proposition, she assented and commenced us as follows.
On Friday morning, March 3rd, between the hours of 11 and 12 o'clock, I was in my yard not more than 40 steps from the door of the room in which we are sitting now. The skies were clear and the sun was shining brightly. There was a light wind coming from the westerly direction. Without any prelude or warning, and exactly under these circumstances, the shower commenced.
Why does this feel like JFK the movie to me? I don't know why.
Just give me that. Can we just look at this slide back into the left? The fall was not less than more than two minutes duration. I never touched any of the flesh until my husband came home. I noticed little whirlwinds in the mountains during the morning and predicted rain from that fact. When the flesh began to fall, I said to my grandson, who was
the whirlwinds mean the wizard's rain is coming today?
When the flesh began to fall, I said to my grandson, who was the only person in the yard with me at the time? What is that falling, Alan? He looked up and said, why, Grandma, it's snowing.
He doesn't know what snow looks like.
I then walked around and saw a large portion of it strike the ground right behind me with a snapping-like noise when it struck. A vague idea that my husband and son, who were away, had been torn to pieces and their remains being brought home to me in this way by the wind flashed through my mind at that moment. I was so impressed with the conviction that it was a miracle of God, which as yet we do not understand.
Her first instinct was to imagine that her husband and son's meat had been blown home in chunks by God.
what a reality to live in where you think that could happen, though. Yeah. Like, to be the woman who truly believes that, like, God might.
And that was, like, her first thing. She's like, oh, they must have died, and God just, like, cut them up and sent them home in a whirlwind.
This is probably my husband's dead meat.
It may have been a warning.
Wait, hang on. I got it. Yes. If that's true, if she truly believed that, why did she let her animals eat it for an hour?
Well, I couldn't stop them. There was too many of them, and there's so much good bits.
Islana's like, oh, my son's meat is being eaten by the pet dog.
Who am I to deny the word of God? If he wanted that to happen, through Jesus, all things are possible. Even blood whirlwinds. Which up until now I thought was strictly vampires like Deacon Frost. But turns out...
Anyway, I've been learning blood magic now for a good 4 to 5 years.
Also, this woman might just be, like, completely smashed. We don't know. Like, legit. Like,
the husband's gone. She's watching the kids completely distraught.
I thought it was my husband and son.
It may have been a warning, as coming events are said to east their shadows before. Cast, it looks like an A to me, but who knows, I'm drunk. The largest piece that I saw was as long as my hand and about 1/2 inch wide. It looked grisly, as if it had been torn from the throat of some animal. Jesus. Another piece that I saw was half round in shape and about the size of a $0.50.
Have done.
Have now.
You're a plastic water bottle and a paper towel roll.
Your correspondent then informed Mrs. Crouch that a rumor was circulating in Mount Sterling to the effect that she and her husband had quarreled several times recently about them selling the farm, she being in favor and he being opposed to making a sale, and that she had done this flesh trick in order to scare the old man into her way of thinking and thereby accomplish by fright what she could not perform by persuasion.
Oh no, meat! We have to sell this place!
I want to know how the husband thought the woman, like, what she did to make it rain. Like, just she just cut up a bunch of animals and, like, had a ton of meat to be like, show him? Like, what?
It's sad because she thought it was his dead flesh and he thought it was a woman's trick.
Oh, my God.
Incredibly fucking sad. When he's gone, actually. Maybe she just, like, scattered some meat all over the place, then set it rain meat?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if someone tell this woman she's in a toxic relationship and she deserves better.
But I'm curious about the kid, because there was a kid present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, was there? Oh, wait, yeah, there was.
Yeah, yeah, there was right. A kid present who saw it falling. Yeah, Why don't they talk to the kid?
Maybe they will. Maybe we don't know.
No one trusts the word of an urchin.
We might still talk to him. At this revelation, they all laughed, and it seemed to worry the old lady some to think that such a mean and unworthy trick should be imputed to her. She soon rallied, and settled that point in the following words.
It is true that I want to sell the place, but I have never quarreled with Mr. Crouch about the matter. He is more anxious to sell than I am.
Mr. Crouch was present, and he said he would like to sell out and move to Indiana. Why would you do that? Where he had a son living, and he thought he could live better there and not work half so hard. Statement.
I heard the fall of flesh at Mount Crouch's house farm.
Mount Crouch's.
And visited his place on the afternoon of the Sunday following the event for the purpose of learning the particulars. I did not see Mrs. Crouch while I was there, but I had an interview with Mr. Crouch, who stated that all the information he had about the occurrence had been furnished him by his wife and the children of Mrs. Sadie Robinson, a young schoolmistress who boards at the Crouches.
Mr. Keep Crouch your hands and arms inside the vehicle and hold on to your hats and glasses.
Mr. Crouch informed me that he was not home when the flesh fell, but came back shortly afterwards.
The flesh.
He pointed out the area over which the substance had fallen, and it was about 100 yards long by 50 in width. The dwelling was not included in the district. He gave me the piece that I have here in alcohol and some other pieces besides, which I sent to Mount Sterling to Captain Bent. I sent it by a little carrier who I understand, in the absence of Captain Bent, from the town, gave it to Mr. Bean.
Not Mr. Bean.
Oh! Mr.
He
Bean!
He just looked at it. It's made like a...
Wait, hold on. It's even better. Of the firm, Childs and Bean.
Childs and Bean.
Mr. Bean.
Childs and Bean.
Reporter note, Mr. Bean says he did not get it.
I did not receive the flesh.
There was a remarkably queer-looking fellow, a piece even, whoops, sorry,
among the lot.
Queer fellow, piece of meat, I mean, flesh!
Oh, it was a carnal shower, I mean.
It was a carnal shower, and I found myself without any clothing on, and I said to myself, wasn't this a queer state of affairs?
How did I end up so old?
As I oiled myself up with meat, I thought to myself, well, this is certainly gristly.
This is so silly. Oh, man, I'm in a vat of cum.
Oh, God.
Altogether different from any other sample I saw. It was so gristly in appearance. On the following Tuesday evening, I again visited the Crouch family and made further inquiries. Miss Sadie Robinson told me she was in the house when the meat fell and said it fell over a patch of about 2 acres.
and it was not lying on the ground as thick as sown oats, and in many places, in the space inside of which it had fallen, there was none at all. She said she went out to the yard as soon as she heard of the matter to see the sight, but the shower had stopped before she got outdoors, and she only saw it hanging to briars, sticking in the fence and lying upon the ground.
So it was not a blanket. It was like sparse.
Spotty. Yeah, yeah.
So like, I guess one piece of meat every few minutes for an hour?
That is weird.
I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Miss Sadie Crouch, Sally Crouch, don't matter, was in the house. We just call her Mrs. Crouch. I don't know. I'm not married to her. What do I care? Was in the house when the meat rained down and was called out to see it, but did not go out because she was too sick to leave a room.
So that must be Grandma.
Mrs. Crouch and her little grandson, aged about 11 years, are the only persons who say they saw the flesh falling. Though in my last trip there, I walked over the ground and saw many small particles sticking in the fence. As I did not see it fall, of course, I cannot assert that it came from the heavens. Mrs. Crouch told me she saw a piece fall as long as her hand and about as wide as her two fingers.
So that's corroborated.
Thank you so much, Harrison Gill, for that statement. It's added a lot.
Don't worry. No problem at all.
The schoolmistress has a super quick one. She just says, Miss Robinson was interviewed at Mr. Crouch's farm and stated substantially that your correspondent was embraced in Harrison Gill's statement and therefore her evidence has not been written separately. That's it.
Okay.
You want to go to theories?
Yeah, let's get some theories.
What do we got?
All right. It's off into the next column right over. And there's a theory. Alex, you want to take theories?
I'll take theories. One man says the meat might have fallen from the lunch basket of a passing balloonist. Another explains it by attributing it to buzzards, which, being too full as they winged their flight over the farm, just disgorged themselves, and the result was a shower of flesh.
Those are the only two theories they had back in 1876.
Are we going into an Irishman's attempt to eat some of the meat?
Yes, we are.
I hope so.
Your correspondence bargained with Jimmy Welsh, a railroad laborer, to eat a dollar's worth of the meat.
he didn't bargain with them. He's like, yeah. Pay $5 to eat a fucking piece of this mystery meat. He's like, damn right, I'll do it. Like, that's not a bargain. It's a dare.
This is worded so funny. The meat was placed on the table, and Jimmy was duly informed that his, quote, supper was ready. He sat down and looked at the meat and said he never eat meat alone. I then ordered pickles, crackers, and other accompaniments. Jimmy took the meat up on his fork.
The man knew he was getting a free meal, so he made sure he got his dollars worth.
He took the meat up on his fork, and after two or three unsuccessful efforts to get it in his mouth, he laid it down. I asked him why he hesitated. He said he wanted whiskey to wash it down. The article was ordered and placed before him. He then hesitated and said he was not hungry. I then told him I would give him $5 to gulp it down. Oh. He then suddenly remembered that it was the season of Lent and backed out on moral principles and proposed to swallow the whiskey at half price. He was told to drink hearty, which he did without further ceremony. He said, if I would call at some other time, he would, quote, eat pay fowl, crow, skunk, or anything else to place a fine gentleman like me. I told him I would hold him to his agreement, and so Jimmy passed over to the depot, and I took my seat in the train for home.
Dude, look, this man, it's not that I don't want to eat the meat. It's not that I'm afraid of eating the meat. It's just that it's Lent, and I...
Oh, it's Lent! But I will drink your whiskey.
By the way, I looked it up. $1 in 1800 is worth $25. So he offered $25, and then he offered $125.
Let me just stress as well. This man played such a good con on this report. It's so, he's like, oh, I can't eat this meat by itself. I need pickles and crackers.
I need real
and
food
like,
with it, yeah.
He's like, okay, so he's eating the pickles and crackers. And he's like, oh, but I have to have a whiskey to wash it down. And he's like, okay. And he's taking the whiskey and he's like, but I can't eat it. Slept. Oh, what a fool I've been.
But he does, and it was like, but I'll drink the whiskey for half the price. Still do drink the whiskey for half the price.
Like you said, it's entertainment, right? Like this is not like serious news, right? This is like some weird newspaper.
No, this is a real ass newspaper. But
very top.
During the time period,
New York Post.
There was no radio. There was no TV. This is entertainment. Was reading.
I don't think this Irishman is real, right? I think he's just a joke about Irishmen, right?
He might.
I mean, it does seem like a caricature.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't think he's a real guy. I think they just like put a little like Polish joke at the end of this, basically. It just feels like a little comedy sketch about an Irishman, basically. A little racist comedy
sketch. That's a long setup for that end point there.
Well, I just mean maybe that just that little section, because it's like, I don't know, like I feel like this thing was just trying to get letters in a newspaper, right? Like maybe the section wasn't quite done, so they were just like, put a fake story in there about an Irishman.
I mean, yeah, they could.
Why would they, like, he didn't even eat the fucking meat. Why did they put that in the story?
Yeah. And, like, where'd they get the meat to feed him? Like, are they taking samples of it? Like, where is it coming from?
They had some in alcohol, but that can't be the same thing, right? That can't be.
Well, he said it said he had one in alcohol and other bits beside.
Okay.
So he had other pieces on him as well.
Yeah, but then that meat's, like, laying around.
Yeah, it's been outside. Like, how long has it been? Yeah. Like, how long have you been, like, holding on to this meat?
What year did this story take place in?
1876. New York Post, 1876. Mystery meat dropped. And then if you go a little bit further down, there's also the Schnapper mystery. Some wealthy guy may have killed his wife and ran off.
Oh,
There's record of a James Welsh in Kentucky in the late 1800s, died in 1886.
Because of some bad meat?
I don't know.
Yo, can I read Disturbing Church Worship?
Please do. Please fucking do.
The congregation of the Charles Street Methodist Episcopal Church on Jersey City Heights have been repeatedly disturbed during the past 3 months by a gang of young scamps who entered the church during the hours of worship and conducted themselves in a most unseemly manner. On Sunday evening,
those gadabouts.
Mr. Naffy, one of the trustees of the church, ordered the rowdies to leave the church. They obeyed with some reluctance, but soon returned, announced their determination to scatter the worshipers. William Wilson, one of the gang, was arrested and lodged in a third precinct station. Yesterday morning, he was brought before Justice Davis, who sentenced him to 5 days imprisonment in the county jail.
Damn, Davis, relax, man. He's just being a jokester.
Like, can you imagine? You're just, these people are going to church. These kids probably come in. They're just like, Jesus is Vita Cum.
Yeah. Oh, man, Jesus is in a Vita Cum.
Vita Cum.
Jughead went to jail for 5 days is basically what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. I love that that's just like a thing that happened. There's like these scallywags.
So wild.
I do love that the whole weather report was basically the man's journey and everybody he dealt with along the way, characters and all. It was just
That's a good story.
It was a good story. And that actually filled up way more time than I thought it was going to be. So that's where today's episode ends, boys, with a knowledge of, and actually a real theory, by the way, in case you're curious, is that you did say there's hot springs nearby. An animal may have fallen in a hot spring as it erupted and fired out the bits and pieces of it that went
crazy
into it. And that's why it may have been deer or something, because it might have been like a deer that fell, got trapped, broke its leg, and then like a hot spring exploded or something and sent it all flying.
Hey, and it like cooked it up because it's like so hot.
Par cooked, yeah. Par cooked. Yeah,
medium,
exactly.
Medium rare.
Medium rare. Which is why the dogs and cats were probably like, holy shit, this is delicious.
That is insane. To witness that, can you imagine? Just boom!
I'm not sure my first thought would be, my husband and son have been blown back to me in a whirlwind of blood by God.
Yeah, that's true. That's not what I would have thought either.
We're off to go do a mini-sode over at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. Crendor, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm sure we'll see you on here again in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, I'm sure. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you? What are you up to? Obviously, Cox and Crendor, but
YouTube.com/CoxandCrendorPodcast, all one word. You can find all of those. You can also go to YouTube.com/CoxandCrendor. That's where the animations are. Where they're funny, but the full episodes are over at the YouTube.com/CoxandCrendorPodcast. Also, you can go check out my stuff. I got Pointless Top 10s over on YouTube.com/Crendor. I got Twitch streams and the Twitch TV Crendor. Have a great time. And that's all I'll do for now.
Bingo.
All right. I put a bookmark right there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the... I don't know who they are. There's two...
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No!
Theo and Trinity.
Oh,
I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And has just been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. Which one of you is Dick Powell?
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox.
I want Chalupanati. I want my mustache. I want Chalupanati. I want my
everybody, welcome back to the Chaluminati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.